Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Happy Merry Christmas, because it's a little bit of both, and it's almost New Year's. You guys doing well?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, man, I am so excited to be with you this morning. It is our family service. So what we like to do on every fifth Sunday of the month is we like to welcome our kiddos to join us for a time of worship and the Word, because it's one of the most beautiful things that we get to do is to be able to model what it's like to worship our Lord and Savior in front of our kids, right? They are the next generation. So whether you are a parent today, a grandparent today, or maybe you're like me and I'm just like a spiritual aunt and uncle to so many kids, man, you being here, you get to help set that example in every single day. So we love that our kids are in service with us. So it might be a little bit more squirrely than normal. It might be a little bit more loud, but I'm okay with that, right? It teaches us patience. It's good. But one of the things is we want to give all of our kids, a little activity, because sometimes they need a little assistance, right? So I want to welcome this Bernadette. If you have any kids, or maybe you like to color yourself, I want to welcome all the kids. Go ahead, stand up and come forward. We got some little coloring books for you guys. We got some crayons. Come on down, Eden, you're all right. Come on, we got right here crayons and stuff. Come on down. Come on, look at how cute these kiddos are. Come on, is there any adults in here that are a little shy? You want some coloring yourself? Go for it. It's all right. Every once in a while, I still ask for a kid's menu because I like to color myself or, do those little puzzles, those little word searches. They're great. Keeps us young at heart, right? Awesome. All right, once you guys go ahead and grab your little coloring stuff, feel free to grab a seat. Well, my name is Hillary. I am blessed and honored to be a pastor here on staff and to be a part of this amazing community and to call this my home church. And so if you are new here, hello, welcome. I'd love to meet you. But maybe if you call us your home church, hello again. Good to see you. We had a beautiful Christmas Eve service this last week. It was so funny. I kept saying good morning to everyone because I am so used to saying good morning every time I see you. So I kept being like, good evening. Hello. But it was really great. It is my honor and privilege to bring the word of God to you guys today. Our pastors, Matt and Grace, are with their family up in Oregon, Washington area. I run with both of their families spending the holidays together. So we bless them where they're at. And I'm so grateful that they are allowing me to just kind of bring the word with you guys this morning. It is my privilege to bring the word. Matt had asked me to kind of set up the new sermon series. You just heard it's called Reset. And man, can I just tell you how excited I am? We were praying and just kind of thinking through the different sermon series that we felt like we wanted to do and come up and reset. It just kind of shook us. When we look at the beginning of a new year, when you look at the beginning of a new decade, what a beautiful way to be able to start by saying, God, we want more of you. What a beautiful way to say, God, I don't want to live my life how I once was, but God, I want more of you. And I want more of you, and I'm willing to sacrifice and surrender and to press in to encounter you more, right? And so that's what a lot of this January is going to be. It's going to be us learning some of these spiritual disciplines of our lives so that way we can say, God, I want more of you. Because, right, this life is hard on our own, right? Yes. It is hard, even with our best knowledge, our best capabilities, even with the best people in the world, that we need Jesus and we need God to come in and we need him to be our savior. We need him to be our healer, but we also need him to redefine what he has called us to do and who he has called us to be, right? Because we know that this life in this world tells us a lot of different things and it's very easy to confuse us, but we are going to, in January, give you some hand tools that way you can focus and repurpose your life and chase after to the things of God like never before. Amen. So join us. We are starting, we're doing an anointing service next Sunday because one of the beautiful ways to set yourself apart is to be anointed. And it's a great way to just kind of mark off the beginning of this new season. So join us next week. Bring your family. It's going to be a great day. So that kind of brings me to what we wanted to talk about today and what I felt like the Lord wanted me to bring to you today. And man, I'm excited. What I feel like God wanted me to just share with you is, man, this concept of learning to run free. to run free. So if you're taking notes today, my sermon title is called Running Free. If you did not know, if you've never written a sermon before, creating a sermon title is one of the hardest things to come up with. You want to be creative, you want to be clever, but it doesn't work so well sometimes. But today we are called Running Free. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9 verses 24 through 27. If not, we've got it for you on the screen. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it a slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we are here today. God, we thank you that you came to heaven in the form of a baby. And God, we celebrated you. But God, we thank you that you didn't stay there, but God, you are our victorious King. And Father, we thank you that you are good and you have plans and purposes for us. I pray for each and every single one of us in this room, Lord, help us to have eyes that are willing to see and ears that are willing to hear your word. And God, I ask that, Lord, that you would just anoint me in this time. May this not be my voice. God, may this not be my words, but Lord, may it be yours. God, speak through me. And we just thank you so much for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Look at your neighbor, say amen. Amen. So at the beginning of every year, we have this tradition of creating New Year's resolutions, right? Has any of you guys ever created a New Year's resolution before? Raise your hand, let me see them. Awesome. What are some resolutions that maybe you have made? Feel free to just shout it out.
Workout.
Okay, yep. Yeah. What are some other ones?
Eat better.
Go to meetings, yep.
Be nice,
that's a great one. Good job. Right? So we create a lot of these New Year's resolutions. Some other ones that are really familiar is definitely exercise more. One might be spend less money. Anyone ever? Maybe that's a resolution. Ayla said amen. Another one could be maybe learning a new hobby. Maybe has anyone ever done that before? Learn a new hobby? Or maybe learn to be more present or patient. You see, a little over 5 years ago, I decided to make a New Year's resolution for myself. It was something I'd never done before, and it was me signing up to run a half marathon. Now, some of you in the room, that might not be a very big thing. We've got our very own Michelle here who has ran like 12 plus half marathons in her life. I'm embarrassing her. It's okay. But for me, let me just tell you, I am not a runner. I am a short person with short legs who is meant to go short distances. That's about it. And so the thought of running 13.1 miles, no thank you. It was not something I ever really saw myself saying, yay, I want to run for over 2 hours. Yeah, like that was not a normal dream of mine. My thought of exercise was taking a ballet class, and that was about it. Even in high school, when we used to have to run around the school, I literally would learn that I could walk briskly faster than I could run. I just was not a runner. But you see, about 5 years ago, I found myself in a new season. And I just want to be honest with you, this season wasn't one of the best seasons. About 5 years ago, I found myself completely frustrated. I was frustrated in my job. I was frustrated in my own personal life. I was frustrated with the Lord because there were dreams and promises that he had given me, but I just still wasn't seeing it. I was frustrated with just so many things, and I was stuck. You see, I had dreams, I had aspirations, but for some reason, I was coming to a season where all of those seemed to disappear. That I was in this season that I was like, God, I know that you've got something more for me. I know what you've called me to do. I know that I'm in your will, but why can't I just chase after these things? I want to be that person that wakes up the second their alarm rings and I'm like, oh, good morning. Yes, life is great. Oh, I'm so great to do the things of God, right? Like, that's the life I want to live. But I found myself hitting snooze after snooze after snooze because morning is difficult. But I found myself wanting to just never leave my bed. I found myself frustrated and confused and just going through the mundane things of life. And to be honest with you, it kind of was starting to scare me. I found I had no more passion. Things I once loved, I no longer did. And I was stuck. Have you guys ever been stuck before? that you know that God has more for you. You know it in your head and you know it in your heart, but there's something that you constantly are wrestling with that you're like, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know why I can't run this life so freely and wholeheartedly and chase after everything uninhibited. But for some reason, the thought of just waking up and putting on a pair of shoes, no thank you. That there are moments and times where we just want to chase after the mundane things of life. That the thought of getting up and pursuing life to the best of who we are becomes too difficult or too hard. And I've been there. And I just really felt like today God wanted to just speak to us a little bit. That as we approach this new year, as we begin to face a new decade, that we have this beautiful fresh start. That we have this beautiful new thing that we get to do and we get to challenge ourselves with. I have a counselor. I go to counseling. I feel like it's good for people about every 5 years to just go talk with someone. I just made a big, massive transition in my life moving here, and I just felt it was time to just kind of process through it with someone. And my counselor challenged me. She was like, okay, Hillary, you're doing good, but what is something that you don't want to take with you into 2020? What is something that you want to let go of? That way you don't have it keep carrying on in the next year. And it really began to just kind of challenge my thought process. And it began to challenge me to look at my life differently and what God wanted to do in me. Because I want to run this race of life to the best of my abilities. I want to run this race of life full of faith and hope, knowing who God has called me to be. I want to run this race of life covered in the identity of Christ, that when people or things or circumstances come against me, I can stand strong knowing what God has called me to be and who he has called me to be. That when chaos in my family circles and swarms up, as you know, your family has that way of hitting those buttons like no one else, right? That I want to be able to stand firm and strong and be able to speak peace into the situation instead of stirring the pot, which is so what I usually want to do, right? And so I want to be able to run this race. And so in order to do that, we've got to begin to do some things differently. We've got to begin to change some things. You see, when I began to train for this half marathon, can I just tell you how difficult it was? Have anybody ever ran over 10 miles? There's a couple of you in this room. Ayla's on. No, no, not at all. Let me just tell you, I didn't know what I got myself into. After running just 1 mile on a treadmill, I was like, that's it, I'm done. I want none of this, I'm over it. I began to find out my breath. You know, I couldn't breathe. Like the thought of just running, I was winded so easily. Yeah, you get this thing called shin splints. Has anyone ever had those before? Those are horrible. They are horrible. If you did not know, they are not fun. My muscles ached, I was tired. And let me just tell you, at that time, I was working 2 full-time jobs and trying to train for a half marathon. So I would work my first job, then work my second job full-time, another get off around 11, and then go to the gym and try and run for about an hour. And I was exhausted. And not only that, I found that my energy was depleting. I was so tired. But that's often even our life now. That God's called us to run this race. God has called us to live this life. He's given each and every single one of us a plan and a purpose. And yet we feel like we are working so hard to chase after these things, but it's so difficult. That our muscles begin to ache, that we want to just stay in our bed and climb back in where it's warm and cozy. That we want to just give up because, you know what, chasing after the things of God, learning to say no just because something feels good, but say no to it because you know what, it's not what's best for you. It's challenging. But we are called to run this life, and we are given the Holy Spirit to help us run it freely. We are given the Holy Spirit to help us guide us and strengthen us along our ways. So I want to break down just a couple of things as we go through the rest of this morning. It's just, how do we run this life? How do we do this? How do we chase, how do we start 2020 with the best that we can be? And there's 3 main things, and that is, one, we run with focus. We run with intention, and we run with training. So if you're taking notes today, the first one is we run with focus. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26 says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. We have focus. See, if I didn't know how far I was running, we would become like Forrest Gump and just run for however many days straight. And then they think he's done and he turns around and runs home. But you see, this life, if we don't have a purpose, if we don't know why we are placed here, like so many people, we're hungry and trying to figure out why we are here, and we're just running, and we're just burning out on all cylinders and all ends because we have no purpose, because we have no focus. That this life, as you begin to face 2020, that you need to begin to open your eyes and say, God, why am I here? And you've got to begin to receive those things and realize that you were created for a purpose and for a reason. That God has chosen each and every single one of you, that you are not here by accident. No matter what your family might say, no matter what society might say, that you were created for a purpose and a reason. And God formed you in the very womb of your mothers, and you are not an accident. You have a purpose. That is why you are here. One of the beautiful things is God gives us the Holy Spirit so we can begin to find out what my race looks like. You see, my race is different than Ayla's race. It is different than Alma's race. It is different than Robert's race. And I've got to figure out what God has called me to do and who he has called me to be as a child of God. Because then I know my lane. I know my focus. I then can begin to know, man, I need to say no to that because God has called me to this. Hey, I need to say no to that boy that's just being a scrub because you know what? I'm called to be a princess of the Most High King, right? That we've got to begin to say, oh no, I'm going to say no to those things just because society says it's okay. I'm going to stop watching that TV show. I'm going to stop watching and doing those things because God has called me to something greater and bigger and better. But it's because I have a focus and I have a plan. I knew when I was running this half marathon, I knew how much I had to run every single day. I didn't know how fast it was or how long it was going to take me, but I knew how far I had to run because my training told me to. I knew that every day, today I had to run 5, next day I have to run 6, then I have to run 5, then Saturday I had to run 13. Like, you know what I mean? Whatever it was, I knew it was, and I had a focus, and it was clear, and it was concise, but it was because I knew what I was called to. You've got to begin to chase after, and if you don't know what you're called to, it's not always a vocation. It's not always, oh, I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be this. No, you are called to be a child of God. That is what you are called to. And if you don't know what that looks like, read your Bible. It paints the most beautiful picture of what that means and what that looks like. And when you have that focus, you can run more easily. When you have that focus, you can run this race with more purpose. And one of the other beautiful things is when you have that focus, you won't begin to compare your journey to someone else's. On Instagram, I saw Craig Rochelle spoke. He put this little quote, and it says, the greatest way to kill something special is to compare it to something else. The greatest way to kill something special is to compare it to something else. You cannot compare your journey, your life race to anyone else's. No one has walked through what you have walked through. No one has faced what you have faced. No one has overcome what you have overcome in your life. And you have a beautiful and unique testimony that, man, your testimony, guys, it opens up doors for victories in other people's. Your testimony is a beautiful explanation of what God has done in your life. Don't ever be ashamed of what you have come through because God's blood covered it. And you're able to look through and look forward and say, hey, you know what? I might have messed up. I might have done things I'm not proud of. Or you know what? You want to know what I've come from? But man, God is so good. Do you know where I'm going? You want to see where I'm going? Come with me. Let me take you to the heavenly places that God's calling me to. We've got to begin to run with focus. What has God called you to do? And he's called you to be his child. He's called you to run with that focus and to not compare anyone else's journey. You see, when we run with focus, we know what direction we should go. The second one is we run with intentionality. Run with intentionality. Corinthians 9, verses 24, it says, do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. So this is my little half marathon medal. This is only the second medal I've ever gotten in my life, so I love it. And although I finished, everyone gets a little finishing one. Man, if you actually place in yours, you get this big, beautiful, amazing medal. And you see, I ran with such a way that I had a goal in mind. I knew a time I wanted to finish in, but really my goal was I wanted to finish. I wanted to finish. If you've never run things, you get adrenaline. The Oklahoma Memorial Marathon is what I ran. And you're literally in a line with 20,000 people. 20,000, that's a lot of people. And you're running alongside of all of these things and you have so much adrenaline and there's excitement and there's these bands and people cheering you on and it's wonderful. And I didn't realize I did not pace myself. I going a little bit too fast because I was way too excited. And there's this part on the race called Gorilla Hill. And it's, you're running through this town, and it's literally a giant hill, and people dress up in gorilla costumes. They pass out bananas for you there, and it's pretty funny. You know, you need the potassium. But I was so excited. That's about mile, like, 6 or 7, and I was, like, going way faster. I'm a short runner, so once again, I train to run short and run really slow. But I literally was running about a minute faster than I had trained. If you know anything about running, that's a lot faster when you're going a lot of miles. And by the time I hit Gorilla Hill, I was dead. I was hurt, I was frustrated, and I was annoyed. And not only that, in this training process, you learn a lot of things. You learn that you've got to train the right way. I learned I didn't train for hills, and I should have. Earlier on in the process, I was running, and I realized I was getting so many shin splints all the time, and I went to my friend who's a runner, and I was like, what do I do? I don't understand. And he's like, well, what shoes are you running with? And I just had, like, some Nike Freeze. If you run long, that's not the right one to run. And he began to tell me, he's like, well, those are the completely wrong shoes to be running for long distances. And I had to change my shoes because my shoes were not the right cushion. They were not supporting my ankle. They were actually doing the exact opposite of what I was trying to do. And you see, in order to run with intentionality, I had to look at my journey. I had to look at the race, that course that was planned out for me. I had to look at what I was wearing and what I was running on. Running on a treadmill is very different than running out with wind resistance. And I had to be intentional to try and train in certain ways so I could succeed. You see, this race that you are running, you have to run it intentionally. You've got to begin to look at, what are you wearing? What are you carrying with you? How are you training? Is it helping you to actually be successful and to run this race, or is it holding you back? That there are some things in our life that might be holding us back, and it might be adding more weight to our journey that we don't need. So I'm going to invite Ayla up to kind of help me for a second. I was trying to think of a creative way to kind of show you what it's like when you are wearing the wrong things. So Robert, if you'll mute me for a second. Come on, Ayla. I'm ready for my race. All righty. Who's ready to run? Anyone? We good? Logan's ready. Right? Michelle, could you imagine trying to run your marathon in this? Would you like to train in this? No. Guys, it's already a little toasty in here. This is really hot anyways. Okay, this is really silly, and it's cheesy, and I know that, but that's okay. I'm a little cheesy. But my hope is that we get kind of this visual of, this is how we live our life. Sometimes there are things that we are carrying that are holding us back. That sometimes there are these things that are literally restricting our ability to move. That there are these things that maybe people have put on you. That maybe society has spoken over you. That maybe a family member has put on you. Maybe it's a mentality that you are carrying that is literally holding you back from being able to run this race. For you and me, it might be something different. It might look differently. It might feel differently. But it affects our ability to run the race that God has called us to be. It affects us, and it stops us from being able to run freely. So there's a couple of things I just wanted to touch. As I was praying, I felt that there was a couple of things that we can begin to look at to see if this might be something that we're carrying. The first one is unforgiveness. If you're carrying some unforgiveness in your heart, it hurts you. I've heard it said that unforgiveness is like drinking a poison yourself and then expecting it to hurt someone else. That there might be someone in your life that you need to forgive because it's holding you back. It's holding you back and stopping you from being able to be what God has called you to be. Listen, no one on this journey is perfect. And you know what? Sometimes people have extremely messed up and hurt you in the most horrific ways that you were never meant to have happen. But man, forgiving them, it's what we're called to do. And as I was praying, I just felt like there might be even someone else that maybe you need to begin to forgive yourself. That maybe you want to run this race, you want to chase after things, but you know, your unforgiveness against yourself because of maybe some behaviors, some ways you've lived, some choices you've made, that's holding you back from the freedom God has for you. That's holding you back from the purpose that God has for you. And so maybe it's time that you just take that off. The next one is maybe excuses. Excuses. Running a race, it's way easier to want to have some excuses to why you can't. Some excuses that we find ourselves saying are things like, I can't. Oh, you know, that's just how I was raised. Well, my family struggled with it too, so it's not a big deal. Oh, I'm not good at that. I'm too old. I'm too young. It's just how it's going to be. Well, I don't have the money for that or the time. But can I just tell you, all those excuses are just consumed with fear.
Come on, Hillary.
Yeah. That we are so afraid of failure that it's easier to make excuses. That what if I try? What if I put all of my effort? What if I step into that relationship? What if I let go of those things? What if I step in and I ask for that promotion and I get rejected or I get hurt or I get abandoned? So you know what? It's just easier to make excuses and not even try. Right?
Nope.
But that's fear. And God has not called us to live a life of fear, but a life of vulnerability. That there is something so beautiful when someone can put themselves out there. Even if they're afraid, even if they're worried, even if it's easier to make excuses, but when you can sit there and say, God, I'm going to give you everything, even though I don't know what it's going to look like in the end, I'm going to open up my heart and my life to this. Man, watch how God comes in. Watch what God does. Are you making excuses for why you haven't chased after the things of God wholeheartedly? Are you making excuses for why you keep struggling with that thing over and over and over again because it's just easier to deal with it because that's just how it is than it is to actually try and overcome it? Is there maybe a mentality, those insecurities that you just make excuses for as opposed to saying, God, no, that is not how I should be thinking about myself because I know that's not how you think about me. Let's begin to take off those excuses. The next one is control. Can I just be honest with you? That is what my 2019 has been about releasing, is releasing control. You see, I love and I wish that I could say I was a person full of faith and good, and which I am, but I am in the areas that I know I can achieve on my own. Right? I like to be in control, but a lot of it is because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of being abandoned. I'm afraid of being rejected. And you see, that's where a lot of our issues of wanting to be in control of everything comes from. And I can say that because that's me. A lot of those areas stem from this place of deep insecurity and fear. But I want to take that off. I moved out here with no plan because God called me to. And it seemed ridiculous and scary and not wise on the earthly standards. But can I tell you, God is faithful?
Yes.
I have you guys. I mean, honestly, like I have this community. You are my miracle. You are the prayer that I have been praying. And you can be someone else's miracle also. When we begin to release control and we begin to say, I trust you, God. I trust your word. I trust your plans that you have for me. Man, watch how God shows up and how he is faithful and how he is so good and he is so true. It might not look how you thought it was. My bank account can show that, but you know what? I've met every bill, right? We'll begin to trust God and begin to release that control. So let's begin to just release. Maybe that's you today. I felt like this last one, it was appropriate to have a little blazer. And that's because I feel like one of the last things that holds us back is our past success. Can I tell you how good God is? Because he takes you from glory to glory. That we often like to live in, oh man, do you know that one time I got that prophetic word from the Lord all those years ago? And man, that's so good. God has a new word for you. He wants to speak to you every single day. Oh, remember that breakthrough I had all those? He's got more breakthroughs for you.
Yes.
And you know that presence that you felt that one time you were in worship and you just felt the Holy Spirit and it just changed you and rocked you? Man, he's got even greater depths of experiences for you that you've never had before.
Come on.
Our Lord and Savior, God gave me this picture one time that it's like a bottomless well, that when you think you've gone deeper, there's always more of him to experience. There's always more of him to encounter. When you get the next promotion, when you get those things, like God's got more for you.
Yes.
That friendship you've been praying for, he's got it. That relationship you've been praying for, he's got it. That breakthrough within your marriage and your family, over your children, he's got it. and begin to believe that just because God did something in the past, that man, not only is he going to do it again, but he's going to do it more, because that's who our God is. And let us begin to just take off the thought that's limiting of who God might be. Because God's more than that. He's not a limited God. He's limitless. Yeah. And that is the God that we get to experience and the God that we get to encounter. So I don't know what are the things that you might be carrying, the weight, the extra clothes, the extra jackets. But maybe you need to begin to run this race more intentionally. What in 2020 can you begin to take off in your life that might be holding you back from the breakthrough that he has for you next year? What are the things that you can begin to look through and you can begin to have courage and boldness and begin to say, I'm going to stop making excuses. I'm going to release control. I'm going to look ahead and I'm going to chase after you, Jesus. And I'm going to be vulnerable and I'm going to see everything that you have for me. Because that's how we're called to run our race. And the third one, if we're taking notes today, is we are to run with training. We are to run with focus. We are to run with intentionality. And we are to run with training. Do you guys know some serious runners? You got to begin to train your body. If you have never ran before, it's not going to want to just run. I haven't run in a very long time, and I'm trying to run again, and man, is it rough. Me just trying to run around this block again, it's not pretty. It's not. It's not. And it almost can be more frustrating because I'm like, I just ran 13.1 miles 5 years. I mean, 5 years ago. But 5 years ago, and I did it without stopping. And I was so great and I was proud of myself. But now here I am finding myself back at stage one. Yeah. And it's hard. And it's easy to even begin to be like, well, man, I used to do this so much faster and it was so much easier. And I did it with so much more ease. But I have to begin to sit here and say, no, my body's not used to that. And I have to begin to tell my body what I need to be doing again. I have to listen to my body. If I tried to run 13 miles tomorrow, I don't think I would make it. But I have to begin to train myself a little bit at a time, to take one step at a time, to run one block and then the next. We've got to begin to train our bodies. Runners have to begin to train what they eat, how they sleep, how much water they take. That man, if I did not eat right, there was no way I was going to do a long run. If I did not get enough sleep, there was no way I was going to be able to run well. And for many of us, we are training ourselves to stay in our beds. That we are being comfortable with how life just is right now. But God has called us to be more. God has called us to do more with our lives. We need to begin to train ourselves. Verse 27 says, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. There might be some patterns in your mind that you are still wrestling with. Those doubts of your worth, of your value, that you just still, you know it in your head, but for some reason, when it comes to living it out, something gets disjointed. That when you're making certain choices and decisions, that you're not focused on who God has called you to be, but you're focused on pleasing everyone around you. We've got to begin to train ourselves. You see, God has called each and every single one of us to run a race. He has. It's a race of faith. It's a race of trust. And it's a race of surrender. It might not ever look how you thought it would, how you wished it would, how you planned it to be. But man, it's always so much better. It might look different, but God is always faithful. So I just want to take about a minute. This is your race. I can't run your race for you. Your spouse can't run your race for you. Your child can't run your race for you. I'm sorry, that might be easier, but it can't. This is your journey. This is your life. At the end of the day, you get to go to heaven and you get to be able to have a place, if you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, where your prize never tarnishes or fades. But also at the end of the day, you stand before God. And my prayer is always that he would say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That is my prayer. But I have a choice. How do I want to live my life? Do I want to just skate by, getting by the skin of my teeth? Or do I want to run freely? Do I want to run uninhibited and chasing after God, knowing who he has called me to be? and not letting the things of this world define and shape me, but letting my Holy Spirit begin to shape me. So I just want to take a couple seconds and I want to ask you one question. What do you need to let go of that's holding you back in 2020? You see, it'd be just as easier for me to pick all this back up. I could pick it right back up because that's way easier. Can I just tell you, this is more comfortable? I'm familiar with this. I'm used to this. I know what my life looks like filled with excuses, with control. I know what it looks like because I'm in control, right? I know that no one can hurt me because I've got walls and barriers restricting me so much that it holds everyone else's back and away from me so nothing can ever hurt me. But one of the saddest things is when you carry all this stuff in your life, not only is it self-protection, but it also prevents people from being able to actually love you. It prevents people from actually being able to embrace you in the very season that you're at. And it holds you back from the victories and the breakthrough and the promises of God because we're protecting ourselves. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to pick this back up. I don't want to carry this around anymore. And I want to look into this reset and I want to say, God, I want to start scratch, man. I want to chase after you and I want to run freely. So we're going to just take a couple seconds. I want everyone to just close their eyes right now. I believe that our God speaks to us, that the Holy Spirit speaks to us individually. And I just challenge you to ask him. Maybe you'll get it right now or maybe it might be this week. But this week, may you just ask him, God, what is one thing that you want me to let go of that is holding me back from the things of you? God, what is one thing that is stopping me from being able to run this race freely? And if you feel like you've gotten that, then you just say, God, I choose to take this thing, God, and I surrender it to you. I give this to you. God, I let go of control. I let go of fear. I let go of anxiety and stress and worry, God, and I say, I trust you. I trust you with this area of my life, even though it's scary, and I don't know how it's gonna come out, but God, I trust you because you make all things work for the good of those who love you, and I stand on that today. God, help us to have the courage to let these things go. Help us to forgive. God, help us to run freely and chase after you. Father, we thank you, God, that you are so good and you are perfect and you meet us right where we are at. But God, that you gently and lovingly push us further. So Father, we just surrender ourselves into that and we embrace all that you have for us. Bless us in 2020, God. Help us as we chase after the things of you in our new sermon series, as we reset our lives and we trust in you as we chase after you, Jesus. God, that 2020 would be a year of breakthrough. God, that it would be a year of promises fulfilled. God, it would be a year that we can look back and say, man, I remember what you did there. And all of this surrender was worth it. Because I'm not going back, but God, I'm moving ahead. We thank you for it. We thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing. We thank you for this community and these lives. God, bless each and every single person here and help us to be who you have called us to be, God, so we can run our race freely. And God, that we run in such a way that as people see us, they're like, man, what's different about you? And God, we can begin to share our testimonies and our stories of how good you are and how faithful. So Father, bless us and keep us. And God, may your face shine upon us. And we just thank you so much for it in your mighty name. Amen. 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 Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for coming. I pray that New Year's Eve blesses you and that you just have a great time. And man, go and be the church. Amen. All right, guys. Love you. See you next week.